Welcome back to Toad Talk, starring a celebrity, a local celebrity, going on national celebrity now, and your host, Billy Wessels, here. Clint Foster, you might know him as the TCU Scooter Magruder. He's blowing up now. Your Big 12 Thanksgiving video has 1.4 thousand views.
Trying, man.
We're trying to get that to a million.
Yes. My goal is 6 billion. That's my goal.
Million or billion?
Billion. I want everyone
person,
in the world.
Every human on the planet.
I want someone in Nepal to watch this video and be utterly confused by it, but watch it nonetheless.
What is the most viewed video on YouTube?
That's a good question. It's got to be something like a cat or sneezing panda.
This is a guess, because I feel like I remember seeing this recently. Isn't it the Despacito music video with Justin Bieber?
Is it? I couldn't tell you.
Or maybe Baby Shark now. Ooh, maybe Baby Shark.
A challenger.
Gangnam Style is up there. I can't see. Oh, yeah, Baby Shark.
Baby Shark, how many?
Baby Shark has 7.2 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I guess just keep throwing it on over and over again.
Despacito is at over 7. It's at 7.07 billion.
Wow.
So, yeah, you're on the way.
Yeah.
Shape of You.
One small step.
Shape of You by Ed Sheeran is number 3.
Okay.
I don't know anything about I know this.
I was like, you don't know?
I don't think
I'm in love with the shape of you.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, I'm in love with the stripper. That's where
yeah.
See You Again by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth. That's number 4. And then number 5 is Masha and the Bear, Recipe for Disaster. Some movie.
That sounds...
I've never heard of that.
That sounds like something I need to watch.
Uptown Funk is 7, Gangnam Style is 8. Sugar Baroon 5 is number 11. Anyway, that's what you came here for. This is the YouTube review.
I'm still stuck on Masha and the Bear, Recipe for Disaster.
I don't know what this is. This is the podcast you'll come to on a bye week. This is what we talked about. We do nothing but YouTube. But happy early Thanksgiving, everybody. If you're listening to this on the road somewhere, you're driving safe and you're being safe at your get-togethers and whatnot. And don't be stupid. And let's get this thing, get everything back on track as soon as we possibly
can. Take small bites of turkey. Don't overexert yourself.
We wouldn't want you to cough from having too much turkey in your lungs. And that's how we all started here.
Yeah,
so
you get tryptophan in your lungs and it's all downhill from there.
All downhill from there. Yeah, you got less football to watch on Thanksgiving now. Did you see the Steelers Ravens?
I did see that. I saw Juju Smith-Schuster's indignance at the decision.
Well, they have had as rough you can possibly be at 10-0.
Yeah,
as rough of a goat as you can possibly have with your bye week being shuffled around over the
hill. Hey, Cowboys, though, with a chance to claim sole possession of first place in the NFC
East. I'm excited to be able to host the Buccaneers in week 1 of the playoffs and lose by 25.
This can only go to a bad place.
And then you get instead of getting a top 5 draft pick, you have to pick like 18 or whatever.
Well, you know, I have been very torn with myself because rooting for tanking is something that's not very, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, like in my soul, you know? But I'm like, I understand, yes, top draft pick would be great. But someone brought up to me recently, well, you know, didn't exactly need a top draft pick to get CeeDee Lamb, didn't need a top draft pick to get Trayvon Diggs, you know? So you can still draft well in the middle of the round.
Yeah, you can. I mean, look at the Saints. What they've done. They haven't had a top 5 pick since Reggie Bush, I don't think. So,
yeah.
And see where they're at now. So, it's I guess it's good to be a Cowboys fan. I don't know if it's good.
It's not.
But dust off the old VCR and watch an NFC title game while you're Thanksgiving break.
Watch an old Larry Brown game.
Yeah, there you go, Larry Brown.
Our guest from last week.
Friend of the podcast. A lot of good reviews on that one. So thank you all for checking that one out. Today we have no guests, unfortunately, but we'll talk a little bit about football because there's a TCU game this weekend also. Not on Thursday.
And just as everyone predicted, the one primetime game of the season, TCU at Kansas.
Who will score? that's the game.
Tune in and see for yourself.
If someone wins 2-0, we'll see how this goes.
Will there be a butt fumble this time? We can only hope.
We'll talk a little bit of football recruiting as well. And then basketball starts today. The women are actually playing right now.
Yes.
As we record this at 2:15 on Wednesday afternoon. So the women are in the middle of their game. The men tip off tonight against Houston Baptist. We'll talk a little bit of hoops as the season gets going. They answer your Twitter questions, of course. But first, TCU Kansas. Like you mentioned, they're playing primetime Saturday night, 7 o'clock. This is what we've all been waiting
for. As it should be.
Oh, man. I got a weird feeling. Like, every time they go to Lawrence, it's weird.
Every time.
I don't know why.
Yeah, because it's not like It's not like it's a super hostile environment. I mean, there's only approximately 5 fans fewer in the stands this time than there it will be normally. But yeah, every single time. And I don't know if it's just, you know, you underestimate Kansas, maybe. And maybe they're hyped up to play you at home more so than go on the road. Because we always, with the exception of 2015, when Trayvon Boykin got hurt, we've always handled him at home. We, you know, put the wood to him at home. I mean, last year, look at last year. But every time we've gone to Lawrence, going back all the way to my senior season in 2012, always struggle, always, always. So hopefully we break that trend this year. I feel like we could, just because this Kansas team is a special kind of bad.
Real bad.
Yeah.
I didn't remember 2015 being as close as it was, yeah.
Yeah, that was the Foster Sawyer game. Protect the family. Hashtag PTF. All Saints for
Bram ended up being the leading passer in that game. TC won that game 23-17.
Yeah.
And they were tied at 10 at halftime. So,
yep.
Oof. Yeah. So that was a rough watch there. But yeah, every year in Kansas is always
and
weird.
It was also rough because our uniforms were atrocious in that game.
Oh, that was with the anthracite or whatever.
It was the full body gray camo with, I think, purple chrome helmets, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but that's a hard one.
Vomit inducing
the
all around.
The highlights aren't even coming up on the box score on ESPN right now.
They're like, no one needs to see this.
Normally they pop up with some kind of flashback or whatever. So yeah, well, this one should be different because this Kansas team seems to be real bad.
Well, they don't even have Puka Williams.
Yeah,
so
he's opted out for the season.
You have to feel good at least about that.
Yeah. So they have Velton Gardner as their running back now. He's getting 54 yards per game. Only has 2 touchdowns in, 7 games they've played.
Yeesh.
But they're coming off, what, is this 3 straight bye weeks essentially? Because they had a bye, Texas bye, or is it bye, then Texas? Maybe this is their first game in 3 weeks. I think they had bye, then Texas.
I think you're right about that. Yes, because they had to postpone the Texas game, and it seems like there was another game. Did they already have a built-in bye week, one of those?
They played Oklahoma on November 7th. So this will be 3 weeks since their last game.
Wow. Well, that bodes well as well.
Does it bode well, or are they prepared now? Are they hyped for this game?
Well, they might be hyped, but they're almost certainly rusty. And I don't know. I feel like Kansas, more than anything, is probably just ready for this nightmare to be over and for basketball to start.
They get if you watch your Thanksgiving video, you can so they're at the basketball table.
Yes, so
that was the best part of that.
Spoiler alert! Yeah, the big punchline at the end.
So but they have 3 games left. Because they're going to make up Texas at the end. That is kind of unfortunate for them. Like, I guess we'll throw Texas on at the end. We just want to be done with this.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have games the next 3 weeks: home TCU, at Texas Tech, home Texas. They've beaten Texas at home before. They've also beaten TCU at home before.
Glass houses and all that.
Yeah, right. So their quarterback situation is bad. And so it's easy to say. Jalen Daniels, the freshman, has been starting. He's got 0 touchdowns and 4 interceptions and 139 passes.
Yeah. The question you ask yourself going into this game is, number one, can Kansas score? And 1A, do we care to score?
Yeah.
Those Fair. Are your two – that's your two-part question.
Fair. I think this is – this TCU's got to put 40 on them, right? Like, they have to.
I mean
– to have any kind of
– in my opinion –
feeling about this.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to come away feeling anything but disappointed, yeah, this needs to be like you need to cover, yeah, to keep from being disappointed, which I don't know. If,
24 is a lot of points.
Yeah, that's a lot
TCU's
of points.
TCU's averaging 24 points a game.
And I saw when you texted me that in the notes, I was like, oh my God. Like, it was immediate facepalm. Like, yeah. Is this true? It feels true.
It feels
but
true.
But is it true?
They're scoring 24 points a game, and TCU's a 24 point favorite. I think that's a bold decision on their part.
Yeah.
To make that the line. I think it'll be weirdly close for a while, at least, and TCU pulls away. But this has got to be a get-right game for guys like Duggan, Johnston, and Conrad. Like, you got to pick on this defense that's not good. Their best player is in their secondary, though, Kenny Logan Jr., 50 tackles, 2 picks, a forced fumble, and a kick return touchdown. So he's a threat on that and special teams as well. So he's a solid player. It seems like he's the only good player Kansas has this year.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, if you can at least get Max back to being at least semi-comfortable behind our offensive line, you consider that a small victory. And he has a chance to here because their defensive line is not very good. And so hopefully this is a get-right game also for the offensive line. They can continue to improve and just give Max even a modicum of confidence that you could see he's clearly lacking, he was in that West Virginia game.
The Kansas defensive line has accounted for 2 sacks on the season.
Yeah.
They're both from one player. So
there you go.
So if we thought our defensive line was struggling, but that's another good point for the TCU's defensive line. This is, again, not a good offensive line unit. It should be another chance for them to have a field day and get in the backfield. It could be your speckled goose, Kari Coleman, getting to the backfield.
Speckled goose? I need to write that one down.
There you go. Use that sometime. Kari Coleman could have a big game here. O'Shawn Mathis could continue to improve. He's a guy that GP mentioned yesterday on the conference call. Mm. So I feel on paper really good about this game.
Well, yeah. The chances of us losing, as I knock on your wood centerpiece here, are relatively low in this one. So it's just, can you look good enough to kind of inject at least a little bit of confidence back into both the team and the fan base, really?
Yeah.
This is just as much about giving the team confidence because, you know, if you leave this Kansas game with a convincing win, then, you know, it's easier to get your guys to buy into, hey, we can try and upset an Oklahoma State team that is chronic underachievers.
Yeah. Right, to say the least, yes, they're horrifically underachieving. Yeah. So, I thought they'd be much better than they are. But yeah, this is a game, ESPN FPI, which I think is a bunch of garbage. But TCU's got a 93.9% chance of winning this game.
Yeah.
So, and again, Kansas is what they're averaging 15 points per game. They're allowing 48 points a game. They're getting tripled up every week.
May the odds be ever in our favor.
I don't even know what else to say about this. TCU's a 24-point favorite. TCU, like even the part about GP yesterday talking about the game was like 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then he talked about the big good, which, by the way, kudos to GP, Mrs. GP, Leon Bridges, and Chris Harrison from The Bachelor for getting this thing going. So,
yeah.
That's a big boost to the local, I don't say economy, but to the local
morale. Cultural fabric.
Morale, yeah, of the DFW area. Yes. So that's keen. Hopefully a win against Kansas on Saturday will be good for our cultural fabric.
Yes.
Do you think TCU covers this game? That's really the one question.
You know, I don't think that we will.
I don't think we'll cover
it. I don't think we will. I really don't. I keep trying to talk myself into it, but I sense a Baylor scenario, right, where we maybe jump out to a little lead and then we just sit on it, but Kansas is too inept to attempt the comeback that Baylor did.
See,
that's kind of what I anticipate.
I think it's a one-score game at halftime.
That's just as likely.
And TCU pulls away late. Yeah. So,
I think there's a likelihood, before you get into your prediction, that the offensive coaching staff comes in with something to prove. Coach P allows them to have something to prove. Like, the guys are hyped up. They want to prove that, you know, we're still TCU, all this stuff. So, you know, call some good plays, be a little aggressive early on, but just sit on it. We get it like out to a 2-touchdown lead, say, and we just run the whole rest of the game.
Yeah.
And, so that's actually going to play into who my player of the game is. But go right ahead, Billy.
Ooh, it's not like you're going running back there with your little tease.
Yes, exactly.
The thing I wrote down was TCU has a 12-10 lead at halftime and then goes on to win 33-13.
I would not be the least bit surprised.
None of that sounds too far-fetched.
Yes, not at all.
I'm taking my boy Blair Conrad to have a breakout game because last time in Kansas, Jalen Reagor, I'm going with Jalen Reagor's probably better than Blair Conrad, right? But he had 100 and something yards in that game, even though TCU lost. So I'm taking Conrad to get 122 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
In the win.
I think that's a very solid prediction.
TCU's 33-13. I don't know if I said that enough.
Let me do a little math here. I don't want to make a prediction if I just said I didn't think that we'd cover.
Well, yeah. Take one score and subtract 24 from it.
Yeah, okay.
And then you get the other score.
I'm thinking, well, actually, in this scenario, we would cover.
Oh.
But,
well, they can cover.
Yeah.
I hope they cover.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. I hope they win 42-3.
So in this scenario, we do cover, but you leave the game still feeling completely disappointed and not okay. Happy. So I think we win 28-3.
Okay.
I think that we jump out to like a 14-0 lead, and that's when we begin to squat. And just run. So we'll say Darwin Barlow ends up being your player of the game. He's able to eclipse the century mark. He accounts for 1 touchdown in, you know, relative garbage time because Kansas is unable to mount anything against our defense. I think it's a good game for the defense. I think that Hadare Caesar shows some market improvement as he continues to gain confidence. You know, maybe you get a good game finally from both Washington and Merrick in there, maybe get an interception or two in there. But yeah, overall, relatively boring game where the defense shows out and game where the offense does enough to cover.
At this point, I'll take it, I guess.
Yeah.
28 points sounds lovely.
Yes.
After watching 6 points 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It sounds fascinating.
I know. And it's sad that we're in that place, but that's where we are.
And the team that will probably score more than 24 points or 28 points or 33 points today, the women's basketball team and TCU basketball together, they'll probably combine for more than that tonight.
You'd hope so.
I would hope so. I'll take the over if that's your if that's the money line there. Let's start with the women because they're playing right now. Their game started at 1 o'clock, and I have – oh, of course, we're on a commercial break. So, cool, I pulled up ESPN Plus because I bought that recently.
More like ESPN negative.
Right? So I can't even see how they're actually doing. They were starting to pull away in their game from against Incarnate Words. I'll pull that up in a second whenever the commercial break ends. Okay. I'm looking at more commercials about ESPN Plus, which seems unnecessary. 61-47 going into the fourth quarter. So, yeah, they're pulling away. They're going to get this early dub. It's all about Lauren Hurd this year. This team was a team that – I didn't know would be as good as they were last year, but they were four seniors, and then four seniors are gone,
which is just so utterly frustrating.
Because and I wrote on the women's basketball preview, which is on hornfrogblitz.com right now.
Check it out.
So I wrote a men's and women's preview both posted this morning. So this I would argue this team was hurt the most by COVID of any program at TCU.
Yeah, definitely at TCU, probably the most. But, I mean, you can make an argument for anybody because, you know, even like the Baylors, right, who were like, oh, we had a shot at a national title. Like, all those people are back.
I would say Dayton. The Dayton
men. Oh, yeah, Dayton men. Yes. They're probably number one.
Yeah, they're probably number one because they were, what, number two in the country and they lost Obi Toppin.
Yes.
And I don't know if they're going to be as successful. But it's as far as, like, especially TCU, the TCU women's basketball team got hosed the most. I think baseball would have been good as well.
But those guys are back.
All those guys are back.
Yeah.
This team lost four of their five starters. They only have one player returning that started a game last year. Two, Lauren Hurd, and then one other player started one game.
Mm.
That's all they have as far as starters coming back.
Yeah, well.
So it could be a rough road. They're picked to finish ninth in the conference this year. They were picked to finish eighth in the conference last year, and they finished second.
There you go.
Everybody but Baylor.
See if we got some more Peebly magic.
Yeah, see what she can do. It's going to take, like I said, Lauren Hurd, Yummy Morris are kind of your two key players to watch today. But yeah, go check out Hornfrog Blitz and see the full preview on them because we also talked to Reagan Peebly and Jamie Dixon yesterday. A lot of the talk was about COVID preparations and weren't sure how they were going to be ready to go. Both teams are obviously set to play today unless something last minute happens. Sounds like they haven't got a lot of practice time, especially for the men, not a lot of 5-on-5. He said that the players have combined to have 70-plus days of quarantine due to either having COVID or contact tracing.
Mm-hmm.
Dixon wouldn't go into who or why or where or whatever because HIPAA and all that jazz. But so this could take a while to get going.
I just pictured a hippo dressed up as Duke Silver, by the way. That was very fun.
Okay.
Yeah. HIPAA and all that jazz.
Yeah.
He's got like a trio, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Who would else be in the silver in the woodwind section?
In the woodwind section with it. So like the hippo is like he's got his fedora on with some sunglasses and playing the saxophone, and then you got like a rhino on like the jazz drums.
I was thinking rhino.
You know, and then you got to have someone with nimble fingers on like a little jazz piano, like
flamingo. I would assume maybe a spider.
Oh, ooh, now that's fun. It's like a very tiny little keyboard.
Yeah. Maybe a spider.
But, and they've gone through multiple spiders in this trio. Like, it's actually really tragic. On their True Hollywood Story, or their VH1 Behind the Music, you're going to learn about, like, Dave the spider who was there first, and he was tragically crushed immediately after the show.
You know, one false step, and you're missing a bassist.
It's Oh, yeah, and we need a bassist. So it's actually four people in the trio.
Okay. Duke Silver's there. Get Ron Ron Swanson. I'm blanking on his real name all of a sudden. Nick Offerman there to fill out the quartet trio that there is. But yeah, this is what
we need to make this happen. I need to talk to the Fort Worth Zoo about making this happen.
For the most popular YouTube videos and weird fantasies that you have.
Yeah.
And I just, yes and for you.
I have these moments where it's like you have like the little harp that
the spider
and like you kind of like fade and you get the little thought bubble right and something happens. Okay. Anyway, back to basketball.
I get there, yeah. A spider might be good. The Richmond Spiders could be good this year. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's about getting the players on the court together. I almost said field. On the court together and getting some reps. This is going to take a while to get into some kind of mesh, especially for the women because they don't bring back a whole lot of experience as far as being on the same team together. The men, you bring back everyone but Bane, but that's a generational talent.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that is going to be – impossible to replace. And I asked Dixon kind of how you replace him, and you can't really do that, right? They'll be different. He needs more guys to get more offensive rebounds and more drives to the basket, do things a little bit differently. Because Bane was obviously a great shooter, and they might not have that same skill set on the team right now. I think Nimbard's a guy who you'll be looking at a lot to fill that kind of void.
Yeah,
he was second on the team in scoring last year, also second in assists. 3.7 rebounds per game. So he's a guy that can do a lot of the same things Bane could. Obviously not at the same level, but is very talented. Kevin Samuels back. Farabello, PJ Fuller, your guard rotation there.
Yeah, so, you got a lot of young talent on this team, which is kind of the, you know, the consistent theme.
The TCU, baby. Across 2021, TCU, yeah. 2021.
Young talent. But, and, you know, maybe this is a year where you kind of shift your offensive philosophy slightly because, yeah, you've got Kevin Samuel, who's kind of your elder statesman, and you also got Eddie Lampkin, right, in the fold, who, as I tweeted, looks like he beats whales to death with other whales.
Yeah.
Like he's a giant human being.
Smaller whales.
Yeah. So maybe this becomes more of a pounded inside and crash the glass.
I think
type
that's
of
why
team.
He said they got to focus on offensive rebounds. That's also something they look at Jaden Ledee to do too.
Yes, like, yes.
He's another guy who's a really good rebounder and defensive presence, and a guy
who looks like he stole all of Desmond Bane's arm muscles and attached them to himself.
He's jacked. I see him often around town. Weirdly enough, I'll leave it at that.
Because you stalk him.
Yeah, I stalk Jaden Ledee. A guy that I don't think we know much about yet is Chuck O'Bannon, right?
The
five-star guy, was at USC, comes in. I think he's going to be crucial if he can stay healthy and see what he can provide to this team going forward. Maybe they can be a little bit sneakier than they would expect them to be. I keep wanting to say GP Dixon. He mentioned Miles, Lampkin, and Frank as guys that really transformed their body the last 2 months in the weight room too.
Yeah.
So getting like with Lampkin, I ran into him. Had to have been back in like January. I ran like not literally because I would have died.
You ran into him and fell over.
Yeah, because I would have died and I'm a giant man. But Lampkin is like had some of that baby weight on him, as you see guys come into college with.
Mm.
So if he shed 10, 15 of those pounds and becomes more of a dominant force, yeah, he could become an interior big that makes this team a little bit a different dimensional and a different style, especially if every team's playing one way, you play a different way, you become a matchup nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
It's like West Virginia with Press Virginia, right?
Yes,
that's something different. That's difficult to compete with. If TCU becomes we're gonna get 20 more rebounds than you every night,
mm-hmm.
that's gonna be tough to beat.
Yeah,
even if you're shooting really well. So.
Yeah, well, and you know, I fully expect, like you're saying, Billy, for this to be a tough season. Just because the Big 12 is so dadgum good, right? I mean, it's one of the very best conferences in the nation, top to bottom.
Them and ACC. Top to bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, them and ACC for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got top-heavy conferences like the Big 10 where you got guys at the top are really good. But, I mean, from 1 to 10, all really good programs. But I fully expect this team to be able to sneak up on some people in the top echelon.
They'll get
maybe,
an upset or
two. Maybe challenge for a bubble team spot, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think after losing Bane and how bad they were last year at times, I think an NIT this year would be very, very much a success.
That's yes, exactly. You're amazingly pleased with an NIT bid. Yep. Amazingly pleased.
So, and then next year has got to be about the dance.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
And so they played tonight against Houston Baptist at 7. That game is also on ESPN Plus. So feel free to check that out if you want. The women play Saturday at 1 against Central Arkansas, and then Wednesday at 6:30 they already start Big 12 play against Iowa State at home. So I was
wasting no time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no one really is this year. Even the men, their first conference game is December 6th. Even that's what. 11 days? No, I don't know how numbers work.
Where does that A&M game fall? The A&M game at
that
Dickies.
That game is December 12th.
Oh, so that's in the middle of conference play.
Yeah, so, and even then they have, they moved the Big 12 SEC Challenge to the end of January.
Mm.
It was always the beginning of January. They both teams play Missouri, the men's and women, this year. So, and that's part of the preview on Horned Frog Blitz is the important dates I've already hammered out for a couple of these teams too. Mm-hmm. So the A&M game's on there. The Big 12 opener against Oklahoma on December 6th is on there. So they're getting into it fast. And I think both teams, I think the women play like 6 non-con games a whole year or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And the men play in their tournament this weekend against in Kansas City where they're going to play for sure. who do they
play? Tulsa, I believe.
Tulsa at 6:30 on Saturday, and then either Liberty or South Carolina Sunday at 2:30. The Saturday game is on ESPN3. The Sunday game is on ESPN2, so you can find that on your local television.
Yes. Your local streaming television service.
You can stream them everywhere on all devices, every game, I imagine, at this point.
So yeah.
No reason not to be able to do that. Talk a little recruiting. As I mentioned, I wrote previews of the men's and women's basketball teams. It was apparently so good, it forced both Rivals and 247 to crash for a while.
You broke
today.
The internet.
I broke the internet. Me, take that, Kim Kardashian, or whatever. So I was doing some recruiting digging around, and I saw a couple guys. I'm like, cool, I can't check their profiles on either sites. So they're working on it, by the way. Should be up soon, if not by now. DJ Hicks is the first guy I want to mention. Because this guy, you mentioned Eddie Lampkin being a physical presence. Mm. This guy from Katie Morton Ranch is a 2023 defensive end.
Okay.
So that means he's a sophomore.
He is a child.
He is a child. He is 15 or something. I don't know how the numbers add up there. But so he is 6'4", 245.
Mercy.
And already has the school record in shot put.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So this guy, according to his Twitter bio, I couldn't confirm all that. I'm going to take him at his word because I don't want to argue with this.
Sure. because when you're that big, you can just make whatever claims you want.
Say whatever you want, and I'll agree with you. So DJ Hicks.
I am the president of the United States. Who's going to argue with him?
And at this point, you can't be too much worse than the other option. Yeah. So DJ Hicks, and still early on, but that's a name to watch there. Trey Emery from Mount Pleasant. Again, that's another strong program. A 2022 defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
6'3", 300. In the past year, so he's put on about 30 pounds.
Wow.
So he's another... He puts the mountain in Mount Pleasant, as I wrote in my description here.
Yeah.
He gained about 30 pounds. Also plays some guard. So TC went after these couple guys, I think looking at the defensive line in particular. But this is a guy that's very versatile, great feet, can do a lot of different things. So... Keep an eye out for him as well as far as giant bodies. So
yes, all about that.
We always love the big bodies.
Well, so. I mean, hey, and we can't have enough of them right now.
No. And I mean, we're all going to get a little bit bigger as Thanksgiving comes and goes tomorrow. Yeah. So, yes.
They'll have to update their recruiting profiles.
And sure. Mine is going to be drastically updated.
Yeah.
And the last guy I want to mention here, mostly because I want to see if you know where this place is. Jeremy Patton from Tanaha, Texas.
Yes, okay. That is a two-way school. Yes, am I correct in assuming that?
Probably.
I'm pretty sure because, you know, back in my newspaper days.
That's, I figured you might know this from that.
Yes.
It was shocking why I had never heard of it till today.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the schools in my coverage area was the Santo Wildcats out there in Palo County. Very strong football program out there. And they would frequently make, you know... Middle, not super deep runs in the playoffs, but, good runs in the playoffs. And Taneha was always in that general region. So I'm not exactly sure how far out in West Texas they are or how far up into the panhandle, but I know it's that general area.
So you're very wrong.
The Tigers. I know they're Tanaha Tigers.
But that's not where they are. They're in East Texas.
They're in East Texas. Man, region were they in?
They're between Nacogdoches and Carthage.
Oh, I was completely wrong.
Very close to Carthage.
I'd heard of the school.
Yes.
I could tell you that much.
That's something.
Yeah.
That's more than myself. So there's south of Carthage. It looks like an hour or so.
Okay.
Very far on the map. So that's where that is. And their picture of Tanaha, Texas on the Google Maps is like a trailer park. So
there you go.
There's not much in that town, but this is the kind of guy where TCU finds a guy that no one's heard of or no one's talking about yet from a very small school and turn into a freak athlete. So he's 6'2", 205, district newcomer of the year last year, playing receiver and running back. He's listed as an athlete by his own Twitter handle. He's an athlete. So,
okay.
Yeah, you could use him a lot of different ways, I'm sure. So.
Get a little that Jeremy Curley energy, maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking Trey
Taller.
Heights.
He's taller.
Trey Heights.
Yeah.
That's where my head was at.
So right.
From what, Yoakum, I think it's where
Trey Heights is. Yes, Yoakum. So, slightly bigger school.
Yoakum is a massive school.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Slightly.
But yes, but I think that's where my head was at as far as a comp, if you will.
Yes.
So, anything else?
Man, no. Tune in next week to figure out how I'll derail the podcast.
Well, we got Twitter questions.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we still got Twitter questions. We're not letting you off of the 30-minute podcast. Some of your driving places.
Come on now.
We can't just do that.
We wouldn't do that to you.
All right, so let's start with Bayou City.
Let's.
I have seen some arguments suggesting TCU would be better in a group of five situation. As bad as getting left out of the four was, imagine how we'd all be if we were smoking team like teams like BYU is only to be valued at 14. But another reason why on Thanksgiving I'm grateful we are in a Power 5. not really questions, but thoughts. Mm. First and foremost, if as I put on Twitter last night, dear people upset with BYU's number 14 ranking. Boy, do I have a story for
you. Yeah. I appreciated that tweet.
Because, my goodness, 2014 is still the end-all, be-all. I don't think the only time I've ever been more upset at sports was Nelson Cruz in 2011. So, that is...
Thanks for reopening that wound.
And also, Dwayne Wade in 2006.
Yes.
Those are easily the three worst sports moments I've had in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Good thing we're talking about Thanksgiving, things to be thankful for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I...
Des Cotted is up there, too, for me.
That doesn't... Oh, well, okay.
Because you're not a Cowboys fan.
If we're going with recent NFC Championship games, let's go the pass interference rule, not rule. Then we can go Minneapolis Miracle. Then we can go the push-off last year that they didn't call against Minnesota.
Right.
So let's go through these last 3 years. But even then, like, they won a Super Bowl in recent memory. Like, they're still good. That hurts me less than this 2014 thing does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I will go to my grave saying TCU would have won it all in 2014.
Oh, yeah. Would you say Selection Sunday about that? Anyway, when we dropped from 3-6 inexplicably, yeah, that was the worst sports moment of my life.
After winning by 52 points.
Yeah. What more do you want from us?
Yeah.
What more do you want?
Well, how did you convince? And then you've got this year Tom Herman saying, well, you shouldn't be dinged for a week 3 loss.
Yeah. Okay, bro.
Yeah.
Someone said
Matt,
like he.
I think it was Matt.
Yeah, Matt Jennings. Yeah. Yes, was like, yeah, he clearly was an assistant on the Ohio State team that lost to Virginia Tech and thinks that
you lost at home to 6-6 Virginia Tech. Yeah. Back in week 3.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Anyway. But yeah, to answer Bayou City's question, I mean, sure, yeah, we would probably be in that kind of, you know, Boise State place where you're the perennial, you know, winning titles in the Mountain West or American, Cincinnati. BYU, yeah, every year. But, you know, BYU and Cincinnati, they haven't had that sustained success.
Well,
you know, like,
BYU, arguably, I mean, going back to 50 years, yes.
Well, yeah, but not in the last multiple years.
Let's call it decade.
Pretty much since they left the Mountain West, they've had a lot of issues until this year.
Yeah.
Which I have a funny story about that, BYU leaving the Mountain West, but I'll circle back around to that in a second. But I would much rather be a part of the club, you know? Yeah. I mean, my whole life growing up, I was being resentful of being left on the curb, you know, when the Southwest Conference broke up and just like, man, if we were only in the club, right, we'd show them what we were made of type of thing. And we have, you know, not every year, not this year, but, you know, the potential is still there. What's a bad year or two whenever you still get to beat Texas every year, right? And
beat Baylor 9-8 times out of 10.
Yeah, you know, the positives outweigh the negatives. And you know that if you do well when you're in this club, you actually are supposed to get recognized for it.
If you know now that if you are in the Power 5 and you go undefeated, you have all the power, right? If you go undefeated in the Big 12 or Pac-12 or whatever, they won't leave you out.
Yeah.
It just won't happen.
Exactly.
Unless 5 teams somehow all go undefeated. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So if you win out in the Big 12, you will make the playoff.
Exactly.
And that's more than you could account for back to the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you get left out, and now look at BYU. They're going to go 10-0 or whatever they're going to finish and not going to be anywhere near considered for this.
No. Yeah. And why aren't BYU and Cincinnati on the phone scheduling a game now?
Well, BYU anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
Unless it's Washington or whatever.
Yeah.
I bet they schedule 2 more games. I bet they get at least 2 more stuffed in there. But they both have, what, December 5th off or whatever. That's what everyone's trying to make that happen. Like when you take a Ken and Barbie doll and make them kiss, they're trying to make this happen.
Right.
I don't know why I went real perverted with that, but that's how much I love college football. But I think Cincinnati has a shot. Like Cincinnati would want to schedule the game because they win that.
Sure.
They sitting at 7. But again, as I always say, the only ratings that matter less than the first ones are the second to last ones.
Yep.
Those ratings don't matter at all. So
none of them
stupid.
Do. None of them
where
do.
Where the points are made up and none of this matters.
Yes.
Whatever that means. But yeah, I'm glad to be in a Power 5 conference.
Yeah.
It's fun that your game is on. Your game against Kansas on Saturday is on, what, Channel 4? Like, it's on like a regular channel.
That Fox, for those of you who don't live in DFW.
And it's on FS1. So, yeah, it's on FS1. It's on a very mainstream channel.
Yeah.
Like, they played against West Virginia on Channel 4, Fox, last
week.
So,
yeah, no more. I mean, when we played Tech in 06, it was on, like, Versus or something.
Yeah,
and
the Outdoors Network been on all these years.
The Mountain. Do you remember the Mountain?
The Mountain, which we can have the Mountain, but we can't get a Big 12 network.
Yeah.
Thank you, Texas.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Texas.
Freaking Longhorn.
The least self-aware fan base.
Yeah.
on
you,
Earth.
You want to mention that right now? We're at a good break for this.
Yes, so I have been very pleased and very thankful for all the people who have watched the Thanksgiving sketch so far. And I posted it in some subreddit channels to get some more eyeballs on it. Got overwhelmingly positive response, except for from Texas fans, which was entirely negative. They're like, this is not remotely funny. Still waiting for my laughs. And I was just like howling reading these comments because of just how not self-aware Texas fans are and how I have written Texas fans that way in both of my Big 12 sketches. And it's just so completely true.
Yeah, there's no kidding there. It's just true. It's all true in this situation.
They're like, oh, we still run the conference. I don't get the joke. Like, okay, man.
You run it into the ground or into fourth place, whatever you're going to be this year. Yeah. So, yes.
So, happy Thanksgiving.
Has college football gotten better, worse, or the same since the college football playoff? Not the game, the experience, or coverage. I mean, a little better because technically four teams have a chance now, but it seems to be a pick four out of the same six teams every year.
Yeah, that's the piece that drives me nuts. Because, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how at least with the BCS, there was a set of rules, right, where you're like, it was all numbers based, and you're like, I know what I need to do to be in that in-group, right? With the playoff committee, it's just like, okay, yeah, which of the six teams, like you just said, Billy, do we want to pick who are the most lucrative, yeah, right? It's the fairness has somehow gotten diminished with this playoff.
In theory, this should be better.
Yeah, in theory.
It's not based on the average of your polls.
Yeah.
As we're all broken down to the average of our polls as a mankind. But so I think it should be about the eye test. It's supposed to be about the eye test. Who's playing the best right now? Man, this TCU team we have ranked number 3 just won by 52 points. Ah, they're 6 now. That's stupid. That's turned me off in the CFP forever. Until TCU makes it in there and wins the whole thing, I'll never be appreciative of the playoff committee.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I think it's gotten better because technically two more teams have a crack at winning it.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be actually better until we get 8 in there.
Yeah. So that's the only time that it's going to be truly fair, probably. But then again, too, then you have the people rightfully saying, like, well, then suddenly the regular season means a lot less.
I don't get why they wouldn't want this, because you take the 5 Power 5 champions.
Mm-hmm.
You take the best group of – the highest ranked group of 5 teams, if they're in the top 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have 2 spots.
2 at-larges, there, yeah. Which you'll probably fill with SEC teams.
One's another SEC team,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Another one's going to be if Penn State is good, if Oklahoma State good, if Texas is good,
mm-hmm,
if Notre Dame's good or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's how you rectify that. Like I don't know, but I think until we get a little bit another expansion, which again, this is the year to do it. Like this is, if you're going to pick a year.
Yeah.
When Ohio State's played 3 games, they're ranked number 3 or whatever, and BYU's played 9 and has looked better.
Yeah, frankly.
And they're ranked 14. So, but it's all about the money, money, money.
Yep.
How frustrating will the Kansas game be this weekend on a scale of previous Kansas games, excluding 17 and 19? Those are both blowouts.
Yeah. It's not going to be 14 level, which was pure heart attack inducing, right?
In 15, they missed the game-winning field goal. In 15.
Maybe. Yeah.
So.
Well, 14, we needed a Cameron Echols looper miracle in order to keep our playoff hopes alive.
I think it'll be like 12, right? Wasn't 12 ugly?
Yes.
But TCU like was never really trailed or something like that?
Yeah, 12, as I recall, was ugly and frustrating, but we were never in like really real danger of losing the game. Yeah.
Which was obviously their first Big 12 win.
Yep.
TCU won that game 20-6. I could very much see this being 20-6. They were winning 10-6 at halftime, and then never. They were winning 7-6. Overcrum hit a field goal with 4 seconds left in the half to take a 10-6 lead, and then Casey Baugh hit Brandon Carter for a 25-yard touchdown.
Yep, blast from the past
in the third quarter, and Overcrum had another field goal. They didn't. Neither team scored in the fourth quarter, but I think it'll be something like that.
Yep.
They'll play sloppy. But they'll never really be in doubt of losing the game.
Yeah. Exactly. And fun fact, again, shout out to men's basketball for making sure that every single one of our men's sports first Big 12 wins came against Kansas.
Yeah. Even baseball.
Yeah. Well, but Kansas is terrible at baseball. They're not any good at football. So those were, you know, more likely to
basketball
happen. Basketball
only,
made sure.
It's the only really iffy one.
Yes.
What happened in 13? 13. How did that game go in 13?
13, it was homecoming at home. I remember David Porter had a good name. Shout out to my birthday twin, David Porter. And yeah, I feel like it was relatively uneventful, but yeah, just a comfortable win with a very bad offense.
The TCU won 27-17.
Yeah, there you go.
So, and it was 24-17 going into the fourth quarter.
Okay.
So it was, I wouldn't say it was ever comfortable, but
David Porter scored at least one touchdown, didn't he?
He had 118 yards or
there
whatever.
There you go. Yeah.
So 118 yards and a touchdown.
So I think that was one of, I had already graduated at that point, but that was one of two times that I have sat in the student section.
Oh, wow.
I was fresh out of TCU, and me and my manager friends who were at the game were like, hey, let's go sit in the student section. We never got to do this.
There you go.
Right? And it was an experience.
Porter had a 75-yard touchdown on the first play of the second half. So
there you go.
Come out of the locker room and get a touchdown immediately.
Yes.
So that was his big game. So yes. So I think it'll be more like 20. What did I just say? What was the grade
analogy? 2012.
I think it'll be like 2012.
Yeah.
What are you looking for over these next two games?
Wins?
I need 40 points against Kansas, and I need to be a one-score game with Oklahoma State. Ideally win, but as I said all along, I thought Oklahoma State was the best team in the conference, but they're underwhelming.
Yep.
So I think they can easily win that game too. So I will look for two wins, but ideally you cover in this game, and then you hang with Oklahoma State and make it a one-score game in the fourth quarter.
Yep, I agree with you implicitly. So, yeah, if you hang 40 on Kansas and you make the Oklahoma State game competitive, I don't see why you can't be happy with that.
Don't see why you can't be happy with that either. And then he asked a couple baseball nuggets. So
delicious.
We mentioned Kendall Rogers in D1 Baseball last week. They mentioned Austin Krob. I'm going to keep saying Krob. It might be Krob. I honestly don't remember. I had 7 appearances of the Frogs last season, and he'll be a premier starting pitcher. He's a guy with a high-end fastball.
Mm-hmm.
He also mentioned Sacco. Is that the shortstop's name? Tommy Sacco?
I think so.
They mentioned him as being a guy to watch this year as well. So
you're the one with the laptop.
Yeah, Tommy Sacco, talented shortstop. Hard-nosed infielder, is known for his exceptional defensive skills that makes him one of the better middle infielders in the Big 12.
There we go.
Yeah, so check out D1 Baseball. They have a full fall preview. So shout out to them because they do a great job over there. And he finished with a happy Thanksgiving from Bayou City Frog.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well.
Yes, I'll just say congrats. I don't know what he wants out there, but he had a big life moment. I'll just say congrats here.
Congratulations.
I told him congrats on Twitter before, but I don't know.
May all your turkeys be juicy.
Yes, yes, yes. Weird to say, but fair.
Yeah,
turkeys.
You don't want dry turkey.
Turkey's iffy. Turkey's tough. Which turkey is the most overrated part of Thanksgiving? Can we agree on that?
Yeah. Simply because if you're not eating it with the dressing, drenched in gravy, all that, you need all the other fixins to elevate the turkey. But if you're cooking it right and you're making it juicy, it makes all the difference in the world.
Sure.
If you're either frying it. Or we used to fry turkeys a lot, or you know, cooking it with all the fruit up it, or whatever else.
Fruit up it.
Fruit up it.
Drip King at D Duncan Soul always asks the hardest questions.
Yes.
B Banks asks the funnest ones. D Duncan Soul asks the hardest ones. Address the Fuente situation at Virginia Tech and how that could impact our future staff, if at all. By the way, the women's basketball team just won 84-59.
So huzzah!
They start with a win.
The Fightin' Peebles at it again.
1-0. It seems to be that they are. The fan base of Virginia Tech is going through something very similar. It seems like some of the younger fan bases at TCU, whereas they would like a change.
Well, Coach Fuente. I love Coach Fuente, but he doesn't have the pedigree at Virginia Tech that Coach P does.
That's the thing. That's the thing. GPS 20 years. Fuente's been at Virginia Tech for, 6 years or so? And he replaced essentially their GP, right?
Yeah.
So it's a tougher, much tougher job, but it seems like their patience is wearing thin there. Could that impact the staff? It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
If Fuente is relieved of his duties at Virginia Tech, and then Cumbie and or Meech are relieved of their duties here, Fuente's looking for a home. You know, GP loves working with his friends and people that he's worked with in the past.
Yeah.
And he bring him on staff.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't particularly shock me either. And I would love to have Coach Fuente back in Fort Worth. He's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite coaches to work with, actually, while he was at TCU and I was. I took care of his dogs, actually, on a couple of occasions. Very nice dogs. It might be a good thing because, bringing Coach Fuente back you know, maybe Coach P would be willing to give him a lot more autonomy that he's been hesitant, apparently, to give to his currently constructed offensive staff. Who knows?
Yeah. So it's I could see that being
the answer to your question is maybe.
Maybe I could see that. I could see that happening. I very much could.
Yeah.
Yeah. He replaced Frank Beamer in 2015, which is again Beamer is Virginia Tech's GP, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was there forever.
Yeah.
Was brought them to great heights. So he is under contract through 2023 though.
Oh man.
And in this economy, I can't see them letting go of him at $4 million a year.
I have to tell you, it is a bad look. Like cough cough South Carolina paying these huge buyouts in, like you say, in this climate.
Yeah.
Right? It's a bad look.
Yeah, I could see that being like that's $12 million basically you have to eat. If you want to get rid of Fuente.
Yeah.
So but looking at it, like people are annoyed, but in his tenure there, they've gone 10-4, 9-4, 6-7, 8-5. They haven't missed a bowl game in his 4 years there.
Yeah.
They're 4-5 this year, but
I think that's a question of, and this is a whole nother podcast conversation, but it's like misplaced expectations, right? Like who does Virginia Tech, like do you really think that you can and should be competing with Clemson for the conference title every single year? Is that why you're upset?
Yeah.
I mean, I can get you say, you look at that those numbers and you say, well, we've regressed, right? We started with 10 wins and we haven't gotten there again since, so that's kind of frustrating. Yeah. But worth calling for somebody's head? I don't know.
And like we said, in this economy, right?
You're
probably going to be 500 in the ballpark of 500 this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a likely move they'll make. So just my thinking on it. So.
Yeah.
All right. B-Banks 21-21. Which ones do I want to do first?
Yeah.
Let's do these. What's the absolute worst case scenario for the Kansas game?
We lose. That is the worst case scenario.
And Duggan and Coleman and Conrad get hurt.
Don't
or whatever.
Say it. Oh no!
And Evans gets hurt. Like I'm just saying, and like 20 and like 10 guys get hurt.
Yep. There's your worst scenario.
If you
case
want
scenario.
The absolute worst, there's the absolute. You lose 75-0, and all of your starters get hurt.
Yep.
So that's the worst.
That's the worst.
That won't happen. What's the worst likely scenario? TCU finds a way to butt fumble their way and lose this game. They turn the ball over four times and lose this game like 13-10 or something.
Entirely, yeah. That is the worst case scenario that's entirely likely.
That is the most likely worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Would you trade an A&M national title this year for a 3-0 finish to our season with a bowl win over SMU?
LOL, no. Absolutely not.
Well, to be fair, A&M's got claiming a national title this year anyway.
Yeah.
So at this point, you might as well go 3-0. They're going to claim a national title no matter what. They're going to go full UCF from 2017, whatever that was.
Yeah.
They're going to win out. They're going to one loss is going to be to Alabama. They're going to get left out, and they're going to beat Cincinnati in the Cotton Bowl or something like that. Just the thing of
hang that banner.
And they're going to put a banner up. We should have been there. So
that's not how any of this works.
Well, that's how it works in Aggieland. So at this point, if they're going to do that, you might as well just go 3-0, right?
Well, I guess.
How many Big 12 coaches would you trade for GP right now? So who would you rather have than GP as far as Big 12 coaches?
Hot take, nobody. Honestly. I mean, yeah.
Maybe Lincoln Riley.
I mean, Lincoln Riley is, yeah, obviously a really great coach. He's also had a wealth of resources to work with. And I love his offensive style. I mean, the plays that he draws up are excellent, but I love Coach P. And Coach P is quintessentially TCU, and you're never going to have, if you trade him for anybody else, you're never going to play the type of defense we play, you know, with any of these other Big 12 coaches. I like that being our identity. If we would just get any help on offense, then suddenly you're happy,
yeah,
right?
Lincoln Riley, you can win games 52-45.
Can we get them both? Can we get them both? Is that possible?
Sure, why not?
Is that allowed,
in this
B-Banks?
Scenario, why, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
Go to a wise person. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Would you wear a Baylor shirt every Saturday until 2025 for a 31-game win streak?
Oh, now you got me. Oh,
so that's
dang.
That's the next 4 years. That is roughly 206 more Saturdays.
Oh,
210, 212 days. Oh. Days you have to wear a Baylor shirt.
That is a hard one. That's the hardest one he's come up with, I think. What are you saying? What are you saying to that?
Can I wear it inside out?
I was wondering that.
My high school was green, so yeah. I Technicality.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm assuming you have to proudly...
If you have to proudly...
wear the BU or the Angry Bear.
And basically, hey, I'm cool with rapists on my team.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I see when I see someone wearing a Baylor shirt.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Not fair, but that's still what I think.
Yeah, I am. Also, yes, true. Not fair, but yes. I don't know, man. That's a tough ask.
I'm saying no, but...
Yeah, I gotta say no. It's not worth it.
Would you drink 3 shots of tequila at 8 a.m. every weekday until 2030 for a 95-game win streak?
Oh, God. Okay. Well, destructive family history aside, I think I'm going to go with a yes on
that. That's a hard yes for me. I don't even have to think twice about that one. I like tequila. The one thing is getting up at 8 a.m., but in the way this is going,
I might go back to sleep.
I might not have a job until 2030, so yeah. A full-time gig until 2030. So, yeah, YOLO, I'm in for this. Are you playing for my Patron? Oh, a breaking news alert. Oklahoma, West Virginia this weekend has been postponed.
Oh.
Maybe that's why TCU's got the prime times.
Maybe.
So they haven't said for what cause. Obviously, probably Corona-related. But,
yeah.
They haven't said how or when. But, yeah, that's your breaking news sounder.
Maybe the Oklahoma fans broke somebody's ribs in West Virginia.
I saw that video. I didn't get the context.
Well, they said...
Is that a thing they do?
Well, now... We never went up into the stands to get balls. We would always just be like, hey, please pass it down to us if a stadium was too stupid to have a net. Which, why don't they have a net? That's dumb. And so, you know, big thumbs down to the classless fans like those at Utah who try to throw the ball out of the stadium because that's just hardcore BS. But, yeah, so going into the stands is a new one as far as I'm concerned. But still, kids try to do his job. Like, why on earth? Why? Why? Why would you do that? Why would you attack this equipment manager who's just trying to get the ball back? Who, like, you know, as equipment manager, you're taught, like, these balls, this weapon is your life, right? Yeah. Like, it's like that. You have to take care of them,
but,
right?
Like, they try to throw it out of the stadium?
Apparently, that's what they do. Apparently.
I've never heard of that till now.
Me neither. But apparently they do that at OU.
That's really stupid.
Because they're like, You're infringing on our tradition. You should get out of our stadium, blah, blah. Like, you should get a life and, like, give this kid the ball back.
That is the dumbest college football tradition I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
There are some real dumb ones. That might be the dumbest.
Yeah.
Taking a football that goes in the stands and throwing it over the top, that's stupid.
It's very stupid. And it's even more stupid to attack a child break his ribs because he is trying to get the ball back.
Obviously.
Get a life. Grow up.
Yeah, but that's Oklahoma for you. They probably got a Medal of Honor or whatever. Probably. For that display. On a lighter note, promote your YouTube channel or whatever.
Yeah. So the latest video out, as we've mentioned, is Big 12 Thanksgiving. So if you search Big 12 Thanksgiving on YouTube, you're bound to find it. I will have another TCU fans video after Saturday. Hopefully it's a happy one.
Hopefully.
But yeah, find me at Clint Foster on YouTube, at Clint_Foster55 on Twitter, at TheClintFoster on Instagram.
And I'm at Billy Wessels, and like I said, check out those basketball previews up on Hornfrog Blitz right now, and then other stuff we're working on in the coming days too. So check that out. But most importantly, have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there,
everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Count your blessings.